Thank you, Willard, for that last song. That was very fitting for this morning. Turn to the book of Habakkuk and chapter 3. Just put your finger there. It's going to be a few minutes till we get there. But that's where we'll be ending up eventually. So if you've been reading the news at all, you're well aware that the past few weeks have been rather tough for our nation. A lot of tension with North Korea, more racial tension again, a big hurricane in Texas right now. And again, we just continue to see crime and disaster wherever we look. And I know this isn't the first time I've talked about these things, but it's where our minds go a lot, and I think it's important for us to try to process that in a healthy way. I hate to mention Facebook over the pulpit, but there are things that I see there that I want to comment on. So I see friends and people that I trust with strongly differing views on what is wrong and what should be done in our world. And it seems like everyone is clamoring to assert the rightness of their own view and the wrongness of others. I think what bothers me is when I see people asserting strong opinions in areas where they have little experience and little context for what's going on. And I see people misunderstanding and being misunderstood, just trying to raise their voices above the din, above all the noise. And I don't think I'm alone in saying that it just makes me weary. I believe that all of us want what is right and just. I don't think there's anyone here who doesn't want that. And I think overall in broader society, everybody wants what is right and just. We just have strongly differing views of what right and just is. So this morning I want to talk about another way. It's the way of quietness and contemplation, humility and openness, and I will call that the way of lament. Lament is really a form of worship that has been, for the most part, lost in Western religion, Western Christianity. We focus on verses like "In everything give thanks," and kind of that tone, and that's right and good. But it seems like that often comes at the sacrifice of really bringing our problems and our concerns before God. We've tended as more righteous to just kind of brush those things under the rug and say, well, I'm just going to make myself be happy anyway. And as we look through the Psalms and through the prophets, we don't see that. We very, very seldom see that, I should say. So we don't actually know much about the prophet Habakkuk, only that he lived and prophesied around the time of Jeremiah, or maybe a little before. And in this short book, we have some things to learn about his rather frank conversation with the Almighty. He cries out to God because of the wickedness of his own people, and he says, "O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not hear? Or cry to you, violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me, strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. God responds to him not to worry, because he's going to raise up the Chaldeans to punish the people for their wickedness. This brings forth a second lament from the prophet, because he's not excited about God punishing his own people by an even more wicked nation. That seemed very unjust. So the Lord responds again in chapter 2 that the Chaldeans will themselves pay the penalty for their own wickedness, and he describes in detail what he plans to do to them. At the very end of that pronouncement, he slips in this familiar line. It's very familiar to all of us. I didn't know the context of it. We even have it set to music. He says, but after pronouncing all this judgment, he says, but the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Now go to chapter 3 and follow along. I'd like to read the whole chapter. There's a lot of violence and anger in it, but I want to read the whole chapter to give context for what comes at the end. And I'm reading in ESV. The prayer of Habakkuk the prophet, according to a name that I will not attempt to pronounce. O Lord, I have heard the report of you, and your work, O Lord, do I fear. In the midst of the years, revive it. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran. His splendor covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. His brightness was like the light. Rays flashed from his hand, and there he veiled his power. Before him went pestilence, and plague followed at his heels. He stood and measured the earth. He looked and shook the nations. Then the eternal mountains were scattered. The everlasting hills sank low. His were the everlasting ways. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction. The curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was your wrath against the rivers, O Lord? Was your anger against the rivers, or your indignation against the sea, when you rode on your horses, on your chariot of salvation? You stripped the sheath from your bow, calling for many arrows. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and writhed. The raging waters swept on. The deep gave forth its voice. It lifted its hands on high. The sun and moon stood still in their place, at the light of your arrows as they sped, at the flash of your glittering spear. You marched through the earth in fury. You threshed the nations in anger. You went out for the salvation of your people, for the salvation of your anointed. You crushed the head of the house of the wicked, laying him bare from thigh to neck. You pierced with his own arrows the heads of his warriors, who came like a whirlwind to scatter me, rejoicing as if to devour the poor in secret. You trampled the sea with your horses, the surging of mighty waters. I think he's speaking here of God's judgment on the Chaldeans after the Chaldeans mete out judgment on God's people. So he's seeing things kind of being set right, but I believe he's seeing this as yet to come. And he says, I hear and my body trembles. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters into my bones. My legs tremble beneath me. Yet I will quietly wait for the day of trouble to come upon people who invade us. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. So we need to understand that the prophet pens these words looking ahead to incredible destruction. Given the current tension, I would say this is similar to as if God had told him that nukes from North Korea are on their way, headed our direction. And yet he says, I will wait quietly for their day of reckoning to come. So in lament, we don't just bring our own sorrows to the Father. It's actually more about bringing the sorrows of a group of people to him. Lament is, in a sense, a prophetic act. As ambassadors of Christ, it's a way for us to bear the pain of a people, and in a sense, the sins of others. Often we see in the prophets them repenting personally for the sins of the whole nation. So we bring those before God, even if we're not directly involved in the situation. It's a way of looking past ourselves and growing in empathy for those around us. In the book Beauty Will Save the World, Brian Zond says, the Psalms are filled with complaint, lamentation, and the outpouring of sorrow. Praying these laments will, over time, deepen our capacity for both mourning and comfort. Too often we approach the prayers in the Psalms by thumbing through them and looking for the one that expresses what we feel. But the point of praying the Psalms is not to express what we feel, but to feel what they express. If we take an individualistic and self-centered approach to the Psalms, we remain a shallow, self-obsessed people. But when we approach the Psalms with the understanding that we are part of a praying community and that to represent human sorrow before the throne of God is a holy task, no matter how we happen to feel that day, we deepen the capacity of our soul to receive divine comfort. Let me read that last sentence again. If we approach the Psalms, or I would say if we approach lament, with the understanding that we are a part of a praying community and that to represent human sorrows before the throne of God is a holy task, we deepen the capacity of our souls to receive divine comfort. Lament is about so much more than giving voice to our own troubles. It's meant to change and shape us at a very deep level. Michael Card says, lament is not about psychology, about getting things off your chest. It is about true worship, offering up a sacrifice of your brokenness and pain to God. So I think what bothers me about our current climate is the tendency or even expectation to draw lines and take sides rather than coming together in compassionate and loving conversation. There is definitely a time for drawing lines and choosing sides. I think we tend to do that much more than we should. And especially American Christians, it seems, have appointed themselves to the judgment seat without first taking a humble inward look at and allowing God to root out our own sin. And what's resulted is the word evangelical becoming more associated with power and control than with evangelism and servanthood. And I think that's a great tragedy. God gave Solomon the solution to this problem. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, God says to him, when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and will heal their land. So may we be known as people who, rather than drawing lines and choosing sides, humbly and kindly bring our friends and neighbors before God and pray for the healing of our land, pray for their healing. If you would turn to song number 371. Actually, it's very familiar, so if you can sing it by memory, that would be my preference. Let's just bow our heads as we sing. Well, let's close our eyes as we sing this, if you can, and receive this admonition from God for us.
If my people which are called by